Get ready. Straight Talk Money starts right now.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Monday. Here's some of the things we're going to be talking about on the show today. It looks like the markets are starting off the week on a jittery note. That's over some of those trade war, more news coming out about that, as well as we're looking ahead to hearing from the Fed this week. Are the FANG stocks finally losing their luster? We're going to be talking about that as well. And Warren Buffett might have said no to a young entrepreneur for dinner, but he did give her some very important advice. More on this and other financial news is going to be coming your way this hour on Straight Talk Money. Good morning, everybody. I'm Peggy Tuck, and joining me via phone line, and I'm from somewhere. I feel like it's where in the world are you, Carmen San Diego? But we have our dividend stock portfolio manager, Charles Sizemore. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
And Charles, just where are you in the world these days on this day?
I'm sitting in the Admiral Club at Miami Airport at the moment. I'm actually on my way to Baltimore for some meetings.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, because there's some interesting developments that are going on. Of course, the trade wars, there's still a little bit of jitters that are going on with that. In fact, a lot of the business leaders are going to be 45 of them, to be exact, from a trade association, some of the biggest companies in the country. They're going to be calling on Donald Trump to actually not impose the steel and aluminum tariffs on China. Now, we talked last week, you know, the types of things that we actually import for China from China are not necessarily steel and aluminum, but, you know, technology. And then there was a list of some of the things that China could do to hurt us. And one of them was those, like the natural minerals, the raw minerals, because they do most of the mining there.
Yeah, the rare earth minerals are, China has pretty close to a monopoly on those. So they could really pinch us on the rare earths, which are necessary for our tech industry. Another thing they can do is that, remember, China holds a huge amount of our treasury debt. They could also just decide to get nasty at that, and you know, they could really wreak havoc on our bond market. Now, what's interesting is the you know, these economists and opinion makers kind of writing you know, signing this open letter to the president. This is actually very reminiscent of 1929-1930, when the Smoot-Hawley tariff was first proposed. Every major economist in America signed a letter begging President Hoover not to sign the Smoot-Hawley tariff. They said, don't do it. It'll be a disaster. There will be reprisals. And sure enough, they were right. You know, Hoover didn't listen to them. Hoover was playing politics. He wasn't doing what a president should do. He wasn't leading. He was just following and playing politics. And he signed the Smoot-Hawley tariff, and they all clapped each other on the back and said, attaboy. And then what happened? You know, global trade ended up shrinking by about 25% over the next couple of years. Imports and exports both shrank. So yeah, sure, you stopped the exports from coming in, but then you also stopped the imports from coming in.
Right.
Then you also stopped our exports from going out. So anyway, if somebody asked me, hey, would you sign this letter to the president? Yeah, I'd sign it, saying, you know, let's be careful about this. Now, broadly speaking, I would say it's not necessarily all bad to try to negotiate a better deal. You know, if you think that the current trade deal is a little bit one-sided, by all means, you know, let's renegotiate. Let's talk tough if need be. But we just kind of need to know, hey, you know, this isn't going to escalate into a bona fide trade war. It's one thing to try to negotiate a better deal. Sure, why not? But getting into a full-blown trade war is a very different thing.
Well, and then what's it going to do to the U.S. dollar, and how that affects us?
You know, that can go a couple different ways. I mean, the biggest impact on the dollar is actually, more than anything else, it's short-term interest rates. when the Fed raises interest rates, that should increase the value of the dollar, all else equal, because, you know, money flows really kind of dictate what happens to the currency in any kind of short-term window there. Now, interestingly, the Fed has been the biggest, been the most aggressive hawk among the major central banks, yet it hasn't really had that impact you would expect. You know, the dollar has actually fallen relative to the euro, relative to the pound, relative to the yen. No, well, I'm not sure about the yen, but relative to the euro, relative to the pound lately, which is actually counterintuitive. So it's, I guess this is a long way of saying, who knows on that one. Currencies kind of do their own thing, and they don't always make sense.
Well, and of course, we'll be looking ahead. We'll be hearing from the Fed this week. You know, I think they're on track, they said, for 4 rate hikes. And it looks to see that pretty much investors are not so worried about the rate hikes as long as it keeps pace with inflation.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things going on there as well. Yeah, the market reacted negatively when the Fed indicated 4 rate hikes was a real possibility. But now it's basically priced in. Like, it got priced in, bond prices adjusted. Everyone used to the idea. And now it is, so long as economic growth continues to plug along, we can handle 4 pieces of problem. Now, the other side of that is, should the economy start to soften? And we have seen some of that. I mean, GDP growth is, the estimates for the first quarter are actually coming in lower than we thought they would. If GDP growth continues to kind of soften, if inflation stays subdued, and if you start to see, the labor market maybe cooling down a little bit, the Fed will probably back off. You know, they're not ideological about this. I mean, their whole thing is data dependent. If the data supports it, they raise rates. If it doesn't, they don't. And so long as the economy remains healthy, the numbers keep coming in well, I think, we'll have 4 rate hikes, and it probably won't be a big deal. The market will take its stride. If the economy starts to falter and the Fed doesn't back off, well, then the market's going to react pretty negatively. If the data starts coming in softer and the Fed does back off and it only raises 2 or 3 times, well, I think the market can handle that as well. So we're kind of in wait-and-see mode on that, but I would say, the most likely scenario is 3 or 4. If the economy stays strong, it'll be 4. If it softens a little, probably 3.
Well, overall, the market fundamentals seem to be strong. I mean, earnings growth has been, been doing well. As the interest rates are low, but they have been pretty stable. And then, the GDP growth has been fairly strong, So it looks, I guess we'll see. Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock Houston time, noon time, Denver time. We'll see just what they have to say. But we're going to take a break here. When we come back on the other side, data, we talk about being the new oil, but could that data be a FANG stock's downfall? More on this on the other side of these very important messages. You're listening to Straight Talk Money.